All right, make sure you're in fellowship as the scenario here. Abraham offering Isaac continues to crescendo, if you will, to its apex. Now in verses 9 through 10, we see the final preparations to bring us up to the moment where Abraham is determined to kill Isaac. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. Look at the Hebrew here. While consecutive, they came is the cal imperfect third masculine plural of the verb bo, B-O. To the place is the preposition el, E-L. Followed with a definite article and our common masculine singular noun absolute, makom, M-A-Q-O-M. Of which God had told him, which is a relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R. Told is the cal perfect third masculine singular verb, amar, to say or said, A-M-A-R. To him is a preposition lamed here with the third masculine singular suffix. That being God doing the speaking, the definite article, and our common masculine plural noun, absolute for God is Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac. While consecutive, our verb to build here, to construct, if you will, see cal imperfect third masculine singular verb bana, B-A-N-A-H. The word used to construct Eve, the female counterpart to Adam. And he built there at that place is the adverb sham, S-H-A-M. Abraham transliterated the altar. He had to sign a direct object followed with the definite article. And the noun, common masculine singular absolute, our word for altar is mitzvah, M-I-T-S-E-B-B-A-C-H. Mitzvah. And arrange the wood while consecutive. Our verb to arrange or put in order, set in order, is a cal imperfect third masculine singular, the verb arak, A-R-A-K. The wood, sign of direct object, definite article, or noun for wood, common masculine plural absolute, ets, E-T-S. And he bound, while consecutive, our verb to bind, to tie up, cal imperfect third masculine singular, akad, A-Q-A-D. Isaac, following the sign of direct object, his son. Our noun for son with the third masculine singular suffix, common masculine singular noun, ben, B-E-N. And laid him on the altar on top of the wood. The fuel will be underneath him to burn him up. While consecutive, our verb laid is the cal imperfect third masculine singular seam, S-I-Y-M, to place or lay. Him is the sign of direct object with the third masculine singular suffix, F, E-T-H. Upon the altar, it's your preposition all, A-L, followed with your definite article, common masculine singular noun, again, our word for altar, mitzvah. On top of is the preposition men, followed with the adverb ma'al, M-A-A-L, literally from above, hence on top of. The wood, you have the preposition lamed with the definite article, common masculine plural etz, repeated again here for tree or wood, in reference to the wood is the idea. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. To stretch out, reach out, if you will, wow, consecutive, the cow imperfect third masculine singular verb, shalach, S-H-A-L-A-C-H. And he literally to send out, hence the hand stretched out, that being Abraham, transliterated, sign of direct object, and the noun, common feminine singular, constructive third masculine singular suffix, our word for hand, yad, Y-A-D. And he took, while consecutive, our verb to take, cow imperfect third masculine singular, lakach, L-A-Q-A-C-H. The knife, he had the sign of direct object, followed the definite article, our noun for knife, common feminine singular absolute, ma, asaleth, N-A-A-C-E-L-E-T-H, asaleth. To slay his son, to slay or slaughter, is a preposition lamed with the cal infinity denoting purpose for stretching out his hand. Construct our verb shakath, S-H-A-C-H-A-T-H. His son, sign of direct object, are now ben, again, with the third masculine singular suffix. Rereading verses 9 and 10. Then they came to the place of which God had spoken to him, had said to him, told him, and Abraham constructed the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him, Isaac, on the altar on top of the wood. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Analysis of verses 9 and 10. One, the narrative crescendos here, bringing the reader to the edge of a climatic ending. This takes us right to the edge. So two, having arrived at the designated place for sacrifice, here highlights Abraham's obedience. Abraham following God's geographical will, to go to this particular mountain in the region of Moriah. And he has come all the way, showing his intentions to follow through as he builds the altar, ties up Isaac, and lays him on top of the wood on the altar. So three, it brings about every facet of the command to sacrifice Isaac here, short of ending his life. Short here of actually cutting his carotid artery. Four, the tension mounts in Abraham's soul on the impending death of his son. If his heartbeat isn't a little bit accelerated, I would be extremely surprised. So the tension, obviously, coming up to this point, it's tight as a string. Five, now, in this case, Abraham does all the work, and Isaac is passive, following the, if you will, symbolism of the son going to the cross, taking on the sins of mankind. God is the one that executes the judgment. So six, Abraham carefully arranged wood on the altar of stones that he or Abraham built, or word to construct, build, bana. So obviously there would be probably a way to utilize what wood they had to ensure maximum incineration. And it is such that Isaac was able to lay down on top of it. the altar. He would make out of any rocks, stones, something fairly flat that would work in this situation. 7, this obviously took some time as Isaac contemplates his fate, ever trusting in his father. Again, the Bible gives the recognition to Abraham and his faith, but it obviously isn't blind to, and doesn't want us to be blind, to Isaac and his part in this whole thing. And he is there at the side of Abraham, sees the ongoings, sees the wood, and now here dad comes over and binds him with rope, whatever, and lays him on the altar. I assume he's figured it out. But his trust in regards to his dad and what he's doing, by the silence in the scripture, is never wavering. Again, his heartbeat is probably accelerated a little bit at this point in time too. 8, in what Abraham did on the mountain in preparation for the sacrifice was standing operating procedures, SOP. Standing operating procedures to build the altar, do it out of stone, to gather the firewood, and prepare the item for sacrifice, the animal or person. 9, a secure foundation was laid, and upon flat stones, wood was placed as a kind of funeral pyre, as it would end up being, as it would incinerate the body, reducing it down to simply ashes. So it operates here in this case, sacrificial altar, as well as a pyre that you would normally see in regards to how many customs still operate in regards to funerals. Ten, it was the same wood used that Isaac had carried all the way up to the mountain that reflects upon the symbolism of the cross beam that Christ carried, then used to place him on the upright beam and crucify him. 11, Abraham then binds his strong young son without incident. That obviously points to Isaac's consent. Without incident. No struggle recorded in this respect. And that obviously shows you where Isaac's at, doctrinally. Okay. Obviously, my dad is not going to go against God's will. This must be God's will for whatever it's going to be. 12, Isaac's consent is based on his understanding of his destiny, just as Abraham's. But no direct mention of this is made in Scripture. He too would be drawn on the same doctrine. Whatever happens, I'm going to be around to have kids, at least one son, see. 13, that he is bound, or verb akad, here contradicts then the standard procedure for animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. As we saw in Leviticus, the standard practice is for the offerer to, or the priest, to cut the carotid artery at an animal's throat. Their lifeblood is in their life is in their blood. They bleed out and die. Then the priest would dismember the animal, this carcass, and remove the internal organs, would purify those, and then offer all of this up in regards to sacrifice. We don't see any intentions otherwise of Abraham falling through with that aspect of the procedure. Simply, he's going to put him on the fire. He's going to slit his throat. When he's dead, he's going to light, not the match, but the coal, the wood, and incinerate him. So 14, Abraham had to improvise as human sacrifice was forbidden in the Old Testament. So he departs from normal sacrifice. Again, this obviously conjures up questions in regards to this directive. We know human sacrifice was forbidden. Deuteronomy 12:31. Moses would be aware of this. It's the time of the law. Just because it became written in the law doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't forbidden to begin with. Parts of the ritual code in the law were already present and being carried out. Human sacrifice would be something not approved by God, understandably. No matter what time, if you will, in history. Yet we see negative volition in their idolatry and pagan worship, engaging in this horrendous, murderous activity. We see even Cain as an unbeliever, being given a mark so people would not kill him in whatever mode of thinking they would have in his part. So here in verse 31, you shall not behave thus toward the Lord your God. After they go in, conquer nations, to make sure they remain aloof, apply the doctrine of separation appropriately, and not get caught up in regards to their human viewpoint, religious ideologies otherwise, verse 30, and find yourself in a boat of national discipline as the nations are undergoing through the conquest. How did these nations serve their gods that I also may do likewise? See, the pull, there's that pull with certain, especially certain people, that sound doctrine, that there's this religious tendency that sound doctrine in and of itself is not enough. No, I need to add this little religious idea from this religious organization or this church or whatever. Christ recognized that. It's called those traditions of men. You know, I get people that will email us on occasion, do you know of any churches like yours, you know, that's around my area? Unfortunately, no. You can look on the internet. Anytime you see things that they advertise traditions of men in regards to their protocol and representation of their church, I'm not going to recommend it. You just say, unfortunately, well, I can't find one. Well, that'll tell you something. You let them know, you know. Well, yeah, I know. This town may be a little ways away. We got people who drive 45 minutes one way, 50 minutes to get here. People have driven longer. We got people that have moved from other states to be on doctrine. Make up your mind. You're more than welcome to come and join us. They could be here, you know. But anyway, this religious appeal, it usually is designed to appease one's emotions. It's like churches seem to think they need to have an entertainment value to offer those who want to come and sit with them. And stroking one's emotions is one way to do it. See, got to have their rock and roll band, long-haired, hippie-looking people. You want to do that? You should have joined me back in the 70s when I was a complete reversionism. We would have got along all right probably then, but not now. So, can't even overtly look at Justin. Got to show their rebellion, show it off right here. Anyway, that's why separation is there. This is why you're given discernment, so you can see and identify the fallacies of other people and other approaches regards to God's plan other than sound doctrine. And Israel is warned. And you're going to go in and you're going to, based on my power, you're going to kick butt. And but a lot of these nations are going to continue to exist as peoples, etc. And otherwise, you don't allow yourself to get involved. We saw the standards of procedures of Israel establishing a close-knit covenant alliance with another nation. If these people aren't believers and they're not on the same page doctrinally as you are, forget it. See? All right, your nation will trade with you. We'll have affiliation as you would with any other nation in that regards. But we're not going to pat you on the back and call you our brothers. See? But anyway, that's not the way the world looks today. This is a foreign message to the world today. The world today says, let's all get together. Let's all be one. Who cares whether you're male or female? Well, obviously, some people don't. They'll switch and throw a quarter. All right, I'll be a guy today. Flip quarter, I'll be a girl tomorrow. Or whatever. You know, all this stuff, all this stupidity as it goes on. But anyway, you should not behave thus. Verse 31, before I get too far off of here. Toward the Lord your God, for every abominable act which the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even, see, this is an exceptional atrocity. So that tells you that, this has been wrong since the beginning of time. For they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods, sacrifice their own children. And for what? Well, a lot of times for a better sex life. I mean, that's what motivates them in many of these pagan occults. Is the sexual promiscuity that's involved in these things. Money, power, greed, mysticism otherwise, fear. You never know. 18:10, Deuteronomy. When you enter the land, verse 9, which the Lord your God gives you, you should not learn to imitate the detestable things of these of those nations. Don't imitate them. See? That's why our local church, we keep everything on board, stripped of traditions of men. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. One who uses divination, other mystic types of approaches that you'll find in religious organizations. One who practices witchcraft, obviously, that one's out the window. Or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. Read Holy Rollers. And these people, self-proclaimed prophets. Yeah. The Oral Roberts of this world. The Two Bobs. Anyway, that's what we call them in Oklahoma. But I won't go there. I don't know why I thought that. Yeah. So, doctrine. Don't be part of the religious trends, and here, obviously, and that's the conundrum that you have to deal with in regards to this situation. It seems on the surface that God is, and He has, ordered Abraham to offer up his son Isaac. But don't forget the first thing that was said before that happened. It's a test. See, it's just a test, and we'll deal with that. So, 15. So here Abraham improvises to a certain degree. In regards to the preparation of the sacrifice. 15, he had to think through a procedure that would accomplish the divine directive and still satiate the command in that regards. 16, as we know, the sacrificial animal first had its throat slit and was bled out. Then it was dressed out and cut into pieces before being laid upon an altar in lieu of having the flesh subjected to fire. 17, the Jewish term for this story is the Akedah, which means the binding of Isaac. It's taken from our verb akad. They bound, and he bound Isaac. The Jewish story is the Akedah, the binding. And they know whether what you're talking about. The Isaac-Abraham scenario. 18, the typological equivalence here is seen in Jesus being nailed to the cross. Obviously, Jesus wasn't cut up in pieces in the sacrifice. So you have really more of an accurate symbolism that's attached here. And what doctrine Abraham may have had or knew in discernment in regards to how he dealt with this, you know, I have to ask him when you get there. But it's fairly phenomenal, no matter how you slice it or dice it, that he doesn't cut him up as you would in animal sacrifices, but he presents him whole, see, and ties him up instead. So 19, Isaac is bound hand and foot, and the fateful moment has arrived, leaving nothing that remains to be done but the distasteful deed, slitting of the throat, and let God sort it all out. Once he's done that, lit the fire, then it's up to God, see, in his thinking. And sometimes that's just the way tests are. You're there, you apply the doctrine, and what else can you do? The rest of it's up to God. Any other deliverance, the deliverance otherwise, has to come from God. But you got to make the application. Don't lose that sight here of Abraham. He's willing to make this application. That's why he passed the test. 20, the extension of the hand in verse 10 is seen to be monumentous. Momentous, not monumentous. I was born in Oklahoma, you guys, excuse me. Momentous, as in Eve taking the forbidden fruit, as Genesis 3:22, and the fall of Adam and Eve, that was a momentous moment. As God reflects upon, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now lest he stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Noting the Eve taking the fruit to begin with, giving it to Adam, he stretches out his hand, and now turn around, instead of the tree of good and evil, take the fruit of the tree of life, which had the proper prescription to eradicate the sin nature gene that they had developed otherwise from the other fruit. So 21, Abraham took the knife from its sheath, assuming he had one, probably did, and positioned it to slit Isaac's carotid artery, his throat, the main blood vessel. That one of those are cut, you're in trouble if you don't have and take care to take the proper procedures immediately. 22, his goal, by the very language itself, was to slaughter his son. Lamed Shekath Ben. 23, now this verb, Shekath, translated slay, becomes a technical term for the ritual sacrifice of animals. It's the term to describe the ritual sacrifice as you get into Exodus 12, 6, and 21. And you shall keep until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to shekath, slay, on Passover. Yet at twilight, verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lands according to your families, and Shukoth, the Passover land. 29:11. And you shall Shukoth the bull, slaughter the bull before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Verses 16 and 20. And you shall slaughter the ram. You shall take his blood and sprinkle around on the altar, Shukoth. 20. And you shall slaughter the ram, take Aaron's blood, put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the lobes of his son's right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet, and sprinkle the rest of the blood around on the altar. Leviticus 1, as we saw there earlier when we looked at Leviticus 1st chapter. Five and 11. He shall shukoth the young bull before the Lord. Verse 11. And he shall shukoth it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And Aaron's sons, the priest, shall sprinkle his blood around on the altar. Chapter 3, verses 2, 8, and 13, etc. 3, 2, he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering. Looks to transference of the sin that the sacrifice represents symbolically. And slay it at the doorway of the tent of meeting. 8, he shall lay his hand on the head of the offering again. Shukoth it before the tent of the meeting. 13, same thing, parallel. 24, again, in spite of all this, again, Abraham fully expected to walk down off that mountain with Isaac, in spite of what he was getting ready to do, based on the doctrine in his soul. That's the kind of faith and trust he had in the doctrine, that God would exercise his omnipotence and raise him from the dead. All right? Verses 11 and 12. Here we have God putting a halt to the proceedings and canceling out the order, which this section will deal with the divine directive itself in the context of being a test. All right? Verses 11 and 12. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Wow, consecutive. Our verb to call out is the Cal and Perfect Third Masculine Singer, Kara, Q-A-R-A. To him, preposition L, E-L, with the Third Masculine Singer suffix. Here the one calling out is the angel of the Lord. See the title of Yahweh here, once again, that we're familiar with. Our word angel is a common masculine singular construct, Malach.